Next week, Egypt will host an Israeli-Palestinian summit. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas will meet on Tuesday at the Red Sea Resort of Sharm el-Sheikh. The day before, each will meet separately with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. With next week's meetings, the structures of Middle East diplomacy will be significantly rebuilt, but that still leaves the question of its content, what each side reasonably expects from the other in the way of commitments or concessions. Well, joining us to address that question are, first, Dennis Ross, director of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and former U.S. Special Middle East Coordinator. Welcome back to the program. Dennis?
Nice to be with you.
And Robert Malley, who's director of the International Crisis Group's Middle East Program and former White House Special Assistant for Arab-Israeli Affairs. Welcome back to the program, Rob Malley.
Good to be back.
Both of you. First, Dennis Ross. For Mahmoud Abbas, the new Palestinian leader, to have a successful summit, what has to happen at Sharm el-Sheikh next week?
I think, in effect, he needs to be seen as having gotten something from both Sharon, but also something from Mubarak as well. With Sharon, I think what's important is that there has to be a reality that, A, things are going to be negotiated now, because one of the things he needs to be able to show is that negotiations actually pay off and they produce. Now, related to that, I think he also needs to be able to show that when it comes to ceasefires, they're going to be mutual. And I would say, in addition to that, there is some reference to other kinds of Palestinian concerns, lifting checkpoints so there's greater freedom of movement, having some kind of mechanism to deal with the question of prisoner releases.
Now, you also said he has to get things from President Mubarak of Egypt, the host of the summit.
Right. I think it's very important for President Mubarak not only to be hosting this, but also to say that the steps that Abu Mazen is taking are steps that Egypt endorses and that the time for solving problems through violence is over. Maybe it was never right, but it's certainly over, and all problems should be put on the table. And he is endorsing Abu Mazen's approach that says violence is not the answer.
Robert Malley, your view, first of all, of what Mahmoud Abbas, or Abu Mazen, as he's called, needs to walk away from Sharm el-Sheikh with.
Well, I think he needs to come out of this summit with tangibles. And the list of tangibles are pretty well known, whether it's statements of a mutual ceasefire, prisoner releases, greater freedom of movement for Palestinians, an injection of economic aid, a whole host of things that he has to be able to come back and say, you voted for the right man.
And on the Israeli side, Rob Malley, what must Ariel Sharon come back from Sharm el-Sheikh with for it to be successful on his side?
I think the stakes are less for him. He has to avoid some bad things. He wants to avoid being pressured to do things that at this point he is politically in an uncomfortable position to do, whether it has to do with settlements, whether it has to do with moving forward on some political issues. For him, the mere fact of the summit, meeting with the Palestinians, meeting with the Egyptian president, meeting with the King of Jordan, is a plus.
And Dennis Ross, your view of Ariel Sharon's needs here in the summit?
I think the most important thing for Prime Minister Sharon is, on the one hand, from the now president of the Palestinian Authority, Abu Mazen, to reinforce his commitment to negotiations being the only way to solve problems between Israelis and Palestinians, that he is against the violence and that there is a commitment on his part to do everything he can to stop the violence. So if this is, in fact, a meeting that tends to confirm the notion that there is, in fact, a Palestinian partner there who's committed to nonviolence, and the Egyptians are not only part of that process but are going to work with the Palestinians and the Israelis as they get out, that will certainly enhance his position within Israel.
I want to ask both of you, having been involved in what we call the Middle East peace process in different ways over the years, how do you address the problem that right now there is no Israeli-Palestinian solution that both leaders could say, I agree to, and politically survive? I mean, we're not at that point. And yet, you somehow have to nudge the process forward in some way constructively to get to the point where there is such a settlement. What do you do? And how? What's the art of this thing? Rob Malley?
I think you just put your finger on one of the principal challenges the United States is going to face. Can you get this process moving, and for how long, when everybody knows, and in particular Israelis and Palestinians, that there's a fundamental disagreement as to where this process is heading? I think the role of the U.S. is going to be to try to reassure both sides by giving enough of a sense of where this process is heading without losing politically either Sharon or Mahmoud Abbas.
Dennis Ross, your thoughts on this problem?
I'm a little less concerned than Rob that you've got to create a vision right now for where you're going. I think both sides have a very strong convergence of interests on reestablishing normalcy. The last 4 years have been a disaster for both. The first order of business has to be take advantage of the fact that the Palestinians want to have a normal life, take advantage of the fact that Ariel Sharon has made a decision to do something unprecedented, which is to dismantle settlements in what are Palestinian areas, build on that to be able to then go back to shaping what is a vision that I think could be embraced ultimately by both.
I just want to ask both of you very quickly at the end, in your bones, which granted are diplomatic bones, so you tend to see hope and prospects where mere mortals often don't, but do you get the sense this actually is a moment of real opportunity and opening, or is it another one of those phony pieces that breaks out once in a while? Robert Malley first.
Dennis's bones are far more diplomatic than mine, but let me say, I think there's reason to be optimistic simply because things have gotten so bad. There's so much to do now to improve both sides' lives, security, freedom of movement, economic well-being. So there is a menu of things to do that both sides could agree on. My fear is not for the next 6 months. My fear is afterwards, precisely because I think both sides are heading in different directions when it comes to what they want to see 5 years from now.
And Dennis Rush?
I definitely think that this is a moment, but I also understand something about these moments from the past. First, they're temporary, so if you don't take advantage of them, they disappear much more quickly than you think. And secondly, nothing ever implements itself by itself. Just because there's maybe a convergence of interests, unless you begin to shape very concrete, tangible understandings that are seen and understood the same way, build on it, we will lose the opening. So I'm optimistic that there is something to be done, but I'm also saying that we really have to get on with doing it.
Well, Dennis Rush and Robert Malley, thanks to both of you for talking with us today.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
It's Dennis Ross of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and Robert Malley, director of the International Crisis Group's Middle East Program. Both spoke to us from Washington.